1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8, we're looking at the story here of Elijah when the 3 years of drought come. Verse 8 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am getting two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." The fulfilled prophecy. That's what that is. That's prophecy. God said, hey, just do this, and it's not going to fail. That food will be there every day. It'll take care of you. According to the word of the Lord, that's what happened. And they got to live that every day. They got to see God's promise fulfilled every day. Just like what we just saw. The fact that the nation of Israel is here, every day we get to see it. We get to live with it because it comes commonplace, we forget it. Amen. We forget the things God's done for us. We forget the things God shows us. And that God's word is truth. There's a promise right there. They got to live with it. Let's pray how we could be a useful vessel for the Lord. Father, we come to you asking you to help us, to guide us. Guide our steps, Lord. Help us to have the faith of an Elijah and the faith even of this widow woman. We don't know her name. We don't know really anything about her other than she's a widow you commanded to sustain your servant, to feed him, to provide for him. A Gentile, a lost person whom you used to fulfill your promises. Help us, Lord, to obey you and be useful for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in this story, we come across two people, Elijah and this widow woman of Zarephath. Both of them are in desperate life and death situations. If you look at Elijah, where he was at, he told Ahab, the king at the time, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, verse 1, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He said, it's not going to rain till I say so. That's what God said. And then God commands him in verse 2 and verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. He says, I've commanded ravens to feed thee there, and you can water yourself with the brook, little stream. And that's where Elijah was at for a time. It says in verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. But verse 7 says something, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Elijah was commanded by God to go there during this drought, but it dried up. Think about this. Elijah was smack dab in the middle of God's will, and his sustenance dried up. You ever thought about that? He was right where God told him to be. And what was being used to keep him alive was gone. Now, do you think it just happened one day that it just wasn't there? The flowing brook, and then the next day it's just gone? No. I imagine as Elijah was there, he'd go and he'd be like, well, Lord, the ravens came today. But it's getting harder and harder to get water out of this thing as he's down, maybe on his hands and knees with his face to the floor, trying to suck out what water's there, watching it get lower and lower and lower. And he's seeing this and he's saying, I don't know what you're going to do, Lord, You told me to come here. And yes, you've been providing for me up to this point, but I mean, this thing's drying up. I've followed it up. There's less and less. It's like I'm having to go farther and farther every time to find more. What's going on here, Lord? You told me to be here. I'm following. I'm doing what you told me to do. Why aren't you providing for me? See, we could be in that situation where we're in a situation like Elijah, where, Lord, I'm doing what you said. I've started changing things in my life. I'm getting myself in line with your word. I'm obeying you. I'm following you. I'm listening to you. I'm seeking your will. Why'd I lose my job? I know you've had me here and you've provided for me up to this point, but why'd I lose my job? How am I going to take care of my family? See, we could be in a situation very similar to where Elijah finds himself. We've obeyed God, we've followed what God says, and we're right in the middle of his will, but everything dries up. And then God tells him, verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Now, Zarephath, it's interesting here. It means smelting shop, a workshop for the refining and smelting of metals. We looked last week at a refined vessel, talking about the things we need to remove from us and talking about separation, those dangerous things. But there's another type of refining that we need, and this is what the Lord's doing with Elijah. He's refining him. God sends him to a place of refining. He says, I want to make you better, like Job. Job says, when I've come through this trial, I'm going to come forth as gold. That's what God's doing with Elijah right here. He sends him to a place of refining. Get the impurities out. You going to trust me? See, you know you're trusting God. You can say, I have faith in God. Oh, I have faith in God. But it means nothing until you put feet to it. James talks about it. Let's turn there. Save your spot in 1 Kings. Go to James. James chapter 2. James 2:18. Says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Jump to verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What do you say there? Show me thy faith without thy works. You can't. You can't. It's impossible. You can't. If you trust God, it will come forth through your obedience. Amen. It will. You can say it all day, but if you don't obey him, it's not real. There is no faith. You're just talk. That's it. If you don't act on it. It's like, I use the illustration all the time when I'm witnessing to people, but about a parachute in an airplane. Like, if you don't actually put the parachute on and jump, putting it on isn't even enough. You have to jump. It does you no good. You don't believe in that parachute. You don't trust it. You're not trusting it until you jump, and you have no choice. I have to trust this thing now. That's obedience. And we want to say, well, show me, Lord. Elijah didn't have that. God said, go to this brook. Here's what he said. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Listen to that. If God told you that, hey, I want you to go to this stream over here. I've commanded some ravens to feed you. You're going to be like, what? Did he just say that? Did anybody else hear that? Really, some ravens are going to feed me. Who's going to believe that? Who's going to follow that? That's nonsense. That's ridiculous. But that's what God wanted. And what did he do? He obeyed. He went to the brook, and lo and behold, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. I don't know where they were stealing this bread from or this flesh from, but maybe someone was putting out a pie on the, you know, to cool on the window, and these ravens are like, wah! And, you know, just fly. I don't know what's happening, but they're showing up with bread. Maybe it was tortillas or something. I don't know. They're showing up with bread and flesh every day and feeding him. That's miraculous. That's unbelievable. But God did it once he obeyed. He had to get there first. He had to take the step first. He had to put some actions to his faith. Or he never would have seen that. It never would have happened. That's just like you, Christian. You can talk about it all day. So I've got faith. Good. Put some action to it then. Let's see it really lived out. Then do it. I believe God could save anybody. Good. Then go tell him. Do we? Then go tell them. So, not me. He could use like pastor or somebody, but not me. Well, they might not listen to me, but they'll listen to you. Put some feet to your actions, to your faith, I mean. So God was refining Elijah. God was preparing him for something greater. He wanted to melt away his fear and replace it with faith. He went to that place of refining. So we have Elijah. Secondly, we have the widow and her son who are ready to eat their last meal and die. That's where they're at. That's what she said. She said, "Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." I mean, she's like, I don't need a hot fire. I just need two sticks because there ain't much. We're going to make this and die. It's our last meal. We don't even get steak. I mean, seriously, what are you going to make out of some flour, some meal, flour, and oil? You're going to make a tortilla. That's about it. That's what you're going to end up with. That's what it'll be. You're going to mix it together. You're going to roll it up, roll it out, flatten it, and there you go. Just cook it up on each side, warm it up. That's your meal. And die. That's what they were going to be offered. She says, this is where we're at. This is the situation we're in. The woman that he was sent to was a Canaanite. I mean, these are like God's enemies, God's people's enemies, the Canaanites. They're not for them. They're against them. God warned them, don't be like them. Stay away from them. Said, you actually ought to destroy all of them, but they disobeyed in that. So now they're still in the land. And God sends him to this Canaanite woman. God was going to use a lost woman to meet his servant's needs. Think about that. This is a lost woman. I'm going to tell you why I believe she was lost here in a bit if we get to it now. I might get to it tomorrow, next week, I mean, tomorrow, whenever. You know, next time we're here, I guess. But God used this lost woman to meet his servant's needs. God had a purpose for her as well. His purpose for Elijah was to melt away his fear and build his faith. His purpose for her was, we could say the same thing, melt away her fear and build her faith, but her faith and trust in him as a savior. That she would be saved, if we could term it like that. That's what it was, that she would believe in the one true God. And we'll look at that when we get into it. God will provide for his people, especially in desperate situations, when we trust him and demonstrate that trust through obedience to his word. God will provide for us if we trust him and demonstrate that trust through our obedience. God will do some miraculous things in your life if you'll let him, if you'll obey him. When it doesn't make sense. Go to the brook. The ravens are going to feed you. What? Yeah. When it makes absolutely no sense. Amen. When he tells you, hey, give this money away to somebody. You're like, but I got to pay bills. I mean, that our mortgage is due. Okay, I'm not saying it might not even be us. I mean, maybe a missionary passes through and God says, hey, give him $500. Do it. Like, that's all we have. Do it. If God tells you, do it. If he tells you, give it to us, praise the Lord, put it in the plate. Just do what God says. But it might not make sense. If you draw back from that, I'm telling you, you will not see God do miraculous things. The times I've seen God work the most is when it seemed the most impossible. Amen. When God came through and I was just like blown away after it happened and we got through it, I was like, wow, praise the Lord, God, you're amazing. But I didn't want to be in that situation. I didn't want to go through a place of refining like that. I still don't like facing those, knowing I'm going into them. Now I can look back and say, well, at least once you get through, it's awesome. But I still don't want to go through it. I'm like, no, if I can just avoid it, I'm okay. But you know, we need that. Elijah was already serving God. He was already a prophet of God. And God says, I got to get you ready for some stuff coming up in the next chapter. Okay, in chapter 18, he says, I got to get you ready for that. I need you prepared. I need you ready for what's coming. Amen. Look, as a church, we're stepping forward. We're going to start doing some things. We're going to start starting some churches in this city. Lord willing, that's the plan. We're not going to try and get ahead of God, but Lord willing, that's the plan. God may send us through some trials. God may send us through something to get us ready. We're stepping in on spiritual warfare, spiritual battle, like Elijah was about to do in chapter 18. I'm telling you, he was going to spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. And he was going to face the devil head on in the devil's territory. He said, you go round up those 850 prophets of Baal. Take them to Mount Carmel. I'm going to be there. You get them there. We're going to see who answers, which God answers. He took it to them. Say, man, I want to do that. Well, then you better go through Zarephath. Say, oh, well, I don't want to do that one. Yeah, but Elijah wouldn't have been ready for that had he not gone through Zarephath. Amen. You have to. So be ready. God may send us through some things as a church, as individuals. Don't forget that. Don't forget it. When the trial's put before us, are we going to obey? Show our trust in Him and just keep moving forward in obedience? Or are we going to draw back? Are we going to be a useful vessel? Are we going to be what God wants us to be? A useful vessel is an obedient vessel, especially when it doesn't make sense, because that's when faith really steps in. When it's easy to do, it's okay, yeah, I'll do that. It's when it's hard and it's going to cost you something that obedience really matters, that your faith is really shown for what it is. The question is always before us, what are we going to do with what God has said? It's given right here. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, go to Cherith. He did it. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Verse 10, so he arose and went. See, the question's always, what are we going to do with what the word of God says? He tells the woman the same thing. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Elijah was telling her what God said. The question always before us is, what are we going to do with what the Lord has said? The Christian cannot get away from that. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? He was preaching some hard stuff. And in John 6:66, it says, then some of his disciples walked no more with him. They turned their back on him. They didn't walk with him. They didn't follow him anymore. They were up until that point. And they said, this isn't hard saying. Who can hear it? And it says they turned their back and they walked no more with him. And Jesus asked them, wilt thou also go away? What are you going to do? Oh, that question's before us today. Maybe you're in a hard situation right now. You got to make some tough decisions for the Lord. You say, I don't want to be in this spot. I don't want to have to decide this. But the question's always, will you also go away? Are you in Zarephath, place of refining? And God's saying, I want to see. You going to follow me? You want to be a useful vessel, you need to be an obedient vessel. Is our answer going to be, thou hast the words of eternal life? To whom will we go? Are we going to run off to the world? Are we going to listen to what the world says? It breaks my heart to see what happens to young people. It breaks my heart. That's why if it seems like, man, pastor keeps hitting on us kids and stuff, and he's always talking about this stuff, it's because I don't want to see you walk into disaster. I don't want that for you. I want you to love and serve God. I want you to give your all to the Lord and not walk in the ways of this world. I just found out yesterday that one of the kids that my daughters went to school with since they were in kindergarten, he graduated, I think, 2 years ago. This year will be 2 years. And he just came out now as a sodomite. Grew up in church his whole life. Knows what the Bible says. Made a profession of faith. Came out as a sodomite. Sitting here doesn't change in here. Amen. It doesn't change in here. Receiving this does. What are we going to do with it? Where are we going to go? We going to let the world influence our thinking? We going to follow after what the world says? Because we desire what they have? Because we want to be like them and they look like they have so much fun? You know, till they're dying of cirrhosis of the liver? Or they get killed in a drunk driving accident? Or end up with lung cancer? Or get raped? You sure we want all that? They don't show you all that stuff in the commercials and on the movies. They don't show you that garbage that actually happens. We want to follow after that though? You better check your hearts. All of us in here, not just the young people, everybody in here. I would never go that far. Yes, you will. Stop lying to yourself. You will. You will go that far. You'll go farther than you think you'll ever go. Say, that's the one thing I'll never do. I told myself that and I did the one thing I said I'd never do. I did the thing I said I wouldn't do. And thank God for His grace and His mercy, He pulled me out of that because I'd have kept going headlong. Headlong. Children, parents, you better watch out your children. I was just reading an article this morning or last night. I forget when. It might have been this morning still, but it was dark before I went to bed. But it was talking about ADHD is the same exact thing. The medicine they give you for ADHD, I'm sorry, I forget what it was called, is the same exact thing and does the same exact thing as meth. What? What? But a doctor prescribed it. It must be good. Critical thinking. So, my kids aren't going to get hooked on drugs. You sure? Man, I got friends that would peddle prescription drugs. I got friends that would go into the doctor and tell them what they wanted to hear. They knew because they had friends that got on that type of medicine and they knew what to say. They say, just answer like this, 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 and this, and they'll give you a prescription for it. And they did, and they got the prescription for it. And we all abused it, all of us. Scrape the time release off. Because they put time release on those capsules, break it up, and there you go. I shouldn't even be teaching. I don't even know why I said that. Forgive me, please, seriously. Forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I'm just telling you what we did. Don't go and do that, please. I shouldn't have even said that. Forgive me. You'll do the thing you said you wouldn't. You will. You better check this thing. You better line it up with this. There's no telling how far you'll go. Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Where are you going to go? If you're going to leave this, where are you going to go? Destruction, disaster. You say, no, I know people who, their life's great. They don't serve God. They don't pay God any attention. That's almost the most dangerous place to be. Because then you think you're okay. And you're not. And you're not. Prosperity is dangerous. It'll destroy you. It'll kill you. If we're to be used by God, we have to look at His Word and obey His Word. See, I teach us things like things on Israel and prophecy, archaeology in the Bible. What's wrong with evolution? So we'll have faith in this book. So you will know why you believe this book and why you know it's right. And you won't doubt it. That's why I do that stuff. Because I've looked into this stuff myself. I'm naturally, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm naturally, I think critically about things. I always look, how can I tear it down? And I may not be the best at it, but my mind just always works like that. I can find the error in things. I don't know that it's always good. I mean, someone can do work on a project for us and I see it. Like last year we had these. The lady that works on these does a wonderful job. I mean, she absolutely does. Last year's calendar came out beautiful. I have some in there still. Came out beautifully. I look at it. I get it back from the print shop and there was one mistake in it and I saw it and I told her to fix it, but she must have forgotten. But the first thing I saw was the mistake. That was the first thing I saw. Why? Because I don't know why. I look for errors. I look for things that are wrong. I don't know. It's not always a good thing. It can be, but not always. Sometimes it's bad. Husbands, that's not good with your wife. Look for the blessings, okay? Amen. That's good advice right there. I'm telling you right now. Amen. Just be thankful. Don't complain about burnt dinner. Just say, thank you for this charcoal, babe. No. I don't get that. No. It's charred. It's charred. There we go. See, it's all in the wording. You can't say it. It's charred. We did this on purpose, right? For aesthetics reasons, right? Okay. But look, we need to think critically about things. We have to look at things in that manner sometimes. We need to do that for our own benefit. Don't just accept whatever is told to us. That's why I teach us these things, though, so that we can know why we believe what we believe. So you know why you believe what the preacher says anyway. You understand it. You say, I see it in this book. I get it. That's why bring your Bible. Amen. Don't use the one in the pew. Bring your own Bible that you get used to that thing. Bring your own. So you know, in my Bible, I know where it's at. I don't buy a bunch of different Bibles. I'm not talking about Bible versions. I mean, I get the same exact Bible every time. Why? Because I'm used to where things are at in the pages. That's why I get the same one every time. I know some people like different Bibles all over. I don't. I know it's on this part of the page and I can flip to it and find it. Oftentimes when I start looking for things, I'm like, turn here. I don't even know where exactly it's at. I just know it's kind of right here and I'm looking for it and I mark my Bible so I can find it. That's what I do. Do that so you can get used to your Bible so it's an effective tool for you. Not just some book that, well, we believe it, but you can't even use it. The Bible says it's a sword. You don't even know how to use it. You're going to go into battle? Think of, put it common day. You're going to go out into war, fight with someone, and you've never even used the gun. You've never even shot it. You don't even know how to load the ammo. You going to do that? Like, there's the battle. Head out there. You're like, but I've never shot this. I don't even know how to cock it. I mean, are you going to go out there all confident? Let's go get them. No, you're going to be like, you guys go first. I mean, that's what you're going to do. That's why some of you won't challenge people on what they believe. Right. That's why you won't go soul winning. Because you say, I don't know my sword. I haven't proven it. Just like David said. Saul brought his armor to him. Here, you're going to go face that giant, put this armor on. He says, "This I haven't proved this. I've never used it. I haven't tried it. I don't know how it'll work for me. I'm not using that. But I have used my sling. I will use that. Oh, I have used this. Do you know it? You won't do it because you don't know it. See, if we're to be obedient to this, we need to know it. Know as much of it as you can. That way when the strange things come, you're like, well, I know everything else is right. I'm just going to obey it. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to obey it. God's been right all the other times. He's right about evolution. He's right about Israel. He's right about prophecy. The timing of Jesus Christ coming is pinpoint accurate. So if he's right on that stuff, I suppose he's right on this thing that I disagree with, that doesn't fit with my lifestyle, because that's mostly what it is. I'm telling you right now, it's lifestyle issues. That's why Amen. We don't want to follow this. I can't do that? Looks false anyway. Yeah. That's what people do. Oh, I don't like that. That's your interpretation. If he's right on prophecy, if he's right on John 3:16, why isn't he right in the manner that we look? Right. In the what we wear? Right. What we say? Where we go? Who we interact with? Amen. Wouldn't he be right on that stuff too? If you believe it, you'll obey it. Say, I have faith. Then obey it.